Good morning. When I left this morning, I told Sue I have no idea what's going to happen this morning. It's interesting how differently sometimes things develop. But you know, the Lord doesn't have us in a life that's just the same all the time, because He's wanting to take us down the journey we talked about last week. He's laid out that path for us, and it isn't just a humdrum, okay, here we go again kind of thing. The Lord has things for us to learn all along the way. And, I was sitting around last evening thinking about meditating and coming in this morning, and it seemed like the further I got along, the less anything was quickened to me. So anyway, but I've had thoughts that the Lord's going to have to organize, and I don't have no idea how long this is going to be, so stay sharp in case the Lord gives something somebody else. But I kept having the word overcoming come back to me, and I know that's a key to what the Lord seeks to produce in every one of us. And you know how many times that's mentioned, for example, in the book of Revelation, to him that overcomes and so forth. Over and over again you have that word coming into play. And one of the things that my mind did go back to, and then I feel like the Lord didn't want me to go that direction and just kind of develop that thought, but it goes back to the beginning of our creation. You remember how the Lord created everything in this beautiful, nothing, there was no death, there was no sin, there was no nothing of the curse that we were familiar with today, and it was all there. And then what was the last thing He did in the creation? He created man, and by man He means, unlike what many people think today, it means male and female, created He them. And but what did He do? What was their relationship with the creation? They were created to have dominion over this beautiful creation that He had. And we were not created like the animals. We were created in the image of God. So, you know, what all that means, it certainly means we have an intelligence. We have a will that's able to operate. We have creative imagination. We have so many things that were built into our makeup when we were created in the beginning. And, you know, on the surface, it looks like, okay, here, just go ahead and be fruitful, fill the earth and all of that. But we know what happened, don't we? We know that there was a temptation to take God's gifts and to begin to use them selfishly. And something we've discussed many times, the temptation was that, you know, basically God's holding out on you. You have all this to serve your interests, to gain what you want out of it. You can pursue your own godhood, basically, and make self the center. And so they fell for it, and there they were in that condition, and God actually, the Lord came down. Of course, it was the one we know as the Son of God was the one that came down and walked with them and came looking. Aren't you glad He comes looking? That He doesn't base everything on our goodness because we haven't got any. But He came looking and said, Adam, where are you? And He had to face the fact that Adam had sinned, and Adam and Eve had sinned. And so what was the immediate consequence of that, of course, was that, well, an animal had to die, didn't it? It was a sacrifice. There was some death that began to be introduced right off because the Lord fashioned skins to cover their nakedness. But the main consequence was that they were expelled from this beautiful place that God had created for them to have dominion over. I mean, Adam had such built-in intelligence from the moment he was created that he was the one who named all the animals. I mean, think of the place of honor, the place of dominion for which we as God's creatures were created. And there they lost it. But then the Lord said, now we got a problem, basically, to put it in to paraphrase, because we don't want this man and woman who have now fallen into sin to be able to also take of the tree of life and live forever. Now, that's another subject we've talked about in the past. I, you know, we got a doctrine that says they're going to live forever anyway. But anyway, that's not so. But anyway, there is a death that fell upon the human race, and they were expelled from the garden, and the way of the tree of life was blocked. And then you remember, of course, how Cain and Abel came along. And they brought offerings to the Lord, didn't they? One brought a lamb, the other one, I haven't looked up these things, obviously. I didn't have any time to think about this or prepare, so it's going to sound like it, but that's all right. But anyway, they each brought an offering to the Lord. Somehow they knew enough to do that. And Cain brought of the fruit of the ground, didn't he? Whereas Abel brought a firstling of the flock, I think it says in the King James. And God recognized Abel's offering, but did not recognize Cain's, and Cain was upset about it. But do you remember what the Lord said to Cain? Yeah, if you do well, won't you be accepted? But if not, what happened? What's the deal? What's going on there? Sin lies at the door. There's this terrible power, terrible principle that came and was like a raging animal, a ravenous beast. Said it wants to have you, and you've got to overcome it. And the word that I had that just kept coming to me was this overcoming, as I said. That we have been brought to a place where in order for us to fulfill our destiny, there's going to have to be some overcoming. Because what happened was the entire world fell under this terrible power of sin and darkness. And there were a handful of people throughout history who reached out to the Lord, and God gave them strength and gave them a way where they could be right with Him through sacrifice. See, death has to happen, doesn't it? And so, anyway, and we see just a glimpse, by the way, of man's destiny and what's been built into him and where God is going with this journey we talked about last week. In what happened at the Tower of Babel. You remember long after the flood, where God had said, spread out and fill the earth and all of that, they decided, we're going to stick together. And so they found a place that was to their suiting, that was suitable to them, to their liking, I guess is the word. And they decided they're going to build them a city. And not only that, they're going to build them a tower that reaches to heaven. Man, we're going to do whatever it takes so that we won't be scattered. We're going to just take hold. And the Lord come down, said, whoa, look what they've started to do. And if they are allowed to continue, then what did he say was going to be the consequence? Nothing that they've set out their hearts to do would they not be able to do. I mean, you talk about the godlike characteristics that are built into the human race. And yet now you've got a corrupted race that's basically in opposition to God. They are enemies of God. And now we're going to go forward, and God had to disperse them by confusing their languages so that people couldn't understand each other all. And then you go out and you see the history unfold. God deals with Job, and then he deals with Abraham, and so on. We see the unfolding of history. But God was pointing in a certain direction. God never gave up on his original dream, is not the word, his plan, his purpose, to have a family. But it's a family who would absolutely come to possess a brand new creation. Remember the description, how after the judgment scene in Revelation 20, you come to the beginning of chapter 21. Read it sometime. And you'll see this glorious picture. No doubt there's symbolism involved, but the picture is very clear of God coming down and being able to live with us. Wow. Something's changed. Something major has changed. Where God has absolutely fulfilled a purpose to have a people that are so pure, so like Him, so filled with His likeness, His glory, set free from all that is wrong with this world, that He can come and literally dwell among us. Praise God. Praise God. And then it says all these other things, this death, this suffering, this crying, these tears, all of that is gone away. It's passed away. Not like there's going to be some little corner of the universe where people are screaming. This is done away. There is a total end that God has decreed for this present creation. But he has called us out of this present creation. And after the Lord describes this scene, that's very little of Revelation is future in the sense that it's beyond this age, but that little passage is for sure. But then he says, to him that overcomes, you will do what? Inherit all this. There's going to come a creation. Now, you remember what the first creation was about? You remember how the Lord created man in his own image? And there they were, and he put all of this creation under their charge. I've many times imagined, or a number of times imagined, the devil looking down and said, what? Those little naked apes down there, they're going to rule over me? And you see the pride that began to emerge in him, and he came up with a way to gain power, gain authority. And so we see a world that has fallen under his dominion, under the power of sin and death. And now God has called us out of that. And he has called us to be overcomers. Now, how in the world are we going to do that? There's not a person here who has power to never sin, to never do wrong. Aren't you so glad that it isn't just a matter of law? When God gave laws, he didn't give it as a pathway to salvation. He gave it to show us our need. And I don't think any of the things that I've thought about just really since I've been on the way this morning, any of these thoughts that have come to me are new to us. But somehow I feel like the Lord wants us to realize. And you know, it's one thing to talk about the journey and the fact that the Lord is with us and he's marked it out for us. But what's happening during this journey is that God is bringing forth a company of overcomers. Now, we think of overcoming, a lot of times we'll think about, oh, stuff out there. I've got to conquer this, I've got to conquer that. You know what we need to conquer? Was Jesus an overcomer? Did that mean he took over the world and changed everything outside? No. In fact, the way he overcame was dying. That was a way out to say, devil, you can't have any of this. You cannot have any of this. I am so set on serving God that I'm willing to die to all this. How does overcoming happen? They overcame him by blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, but don't forget the third part. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. And that's where the battle is. Just like the Lord said to Cain, you know, sin's like this animal crouching. You've got to overcome it. Well, he didn't, did he? And so here we are, and Jesus is absolutely the one who came into this world to overcome. And he overcame completely, but he did it by dying. The pathway to overcoming is not gearing up your will and saying, I'm going to serve God anyway. Devil, you can't stop me. Yes, he can, because he's got an ally on the inside. We are born with a nature that will not, that cannot serve God. I don't care what you do to it. You can convince it like Paul was convinced. I'm going to serve God. I know what's right, and I'm going to do it. And he found out he couldn't. And God used that experience not to discourage him, but to educate him. I wonder how many times have you been through that? Yeah, where you knew you needed to do something and you tried hard to do it and you found out that didn't work? Yeah, well, I certainly discover that every day. But here we are, called to be overcomers. I guess that might be a title, unless this something else happens today. But praise God. Isn't that what we're called to be? Praise God. I thank God for the blood of the Lamb. Because without that, I've got a load of guilt I can't do anything about. See, the blood of the Lamb has to do, first of all, with the stuff that's already happened that I cannot go back and fix. Every one of us has got stuff in our past we can't fix. And there is but one answer to any of that, and that is we're going to have to be willing to bring that to the cross and leave it there. What is an old hymn that just comes back to me? I know a lot of you remembers it. A few of you do. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Oh, it's a challenging thing to do because the devil's going to constantly bring it up. But God has to bring us to a place where we understand what He did for us on the cross. That He literally punished the one who embraced our guilt, everything that was ever wrong with you, everything you ever did. He stepped in as though He were the one that did all that. And the answer was to give up His whole life and to die and to shed that blood. And I'll tell you, for everyone who's brought to that place of repentance, there is always a place we can go. Thank God. Thank God, this journey, we're not going to get it all right. We're going to have battles. There will be battles. We mentioned that last week. There's going to be battles. There's going to be times of discouragement. There's going to be times when it just seems like, you know, where is God? I mean, this is the season of the year in which I read Job. Of course, he had a great time of it, didn't he? The only way that people thought in those days was if you do right, God will bless you. If you do wrong, He'll punish you. And they determined what was, you know, whether a person was right or not by the circumstances. So Job obviously was in a bad way. Clearly he'd done something wrong. And that wasn't the case, was it? God was taking him to a deeper place where he realized that he just had to humble himself before God and say, Lord, I'm going to do right whether you know, regardless. But do you know there's a lesson in that for us? God, what is God looking for from us as we walk this path that he takes us down? Do you think the Lord just might be aware of things in us? Maybe some of them that we're aware of, no doubt, but other things that we're not even aware of? How does Satan wield power over us? Unbelief, yeah. But there are things in here that just want their way. Some of them have become habits to the point where this is the way we think. This is how we see certain situations. This is how we have learned to act and react. It's attitudes, it's actions, it's words, it's so many things that God wants to overcome in all of us. Think about again where He's going. When He's done, He is going to have a people who will be done with all of that. And he'll be able to hand us a perfect creation, and we won't mess it up. He's got a job on His hands to get me ready to have any part of that. Oh my God, think about the character that He's seeking to build in us through all of these things. So that I can step into that and have full control of, have a place of honor. I mean, I don't think we have any idea what God has planned for us. We know that in the ages to come, Paul said, He's going to show His kindness toward ages to come. Ages to come. That's just way off into the future we can't even imagine. He's going to be showing His kindness toward us after bringing us out of that place of utter dominion of sin and death. Praise God. I want to be part of that, don't you? And I want to be an active cooperator. I want to cooperate and understand. Didn't Paul say he prayed for the people that their knowledge and their understanding and their wisdom would increase? Anybody here need more of that? Yeah. Anybody got something in your life right now maybe that the Lord's putting the finger on and shining the light on and saying, here's a need. And I guess what? I'm going to arrange your circumstances so that need's going to come to the front. And you're going to be aware of it. And there it is. Now you can just uh-uh, that's not there, I'm fine. Well, we like to do that, don't we? But the Lord wants to bring us to a place where we can actually look that thing in the eye and find a path to victory. Now again, what was the victory that Jesus won? Again, how did he ultimately win? By laying his life down. Because the only possible way Satan could have any hold on him was through his humanity. He became a part of Adam's race. Thank God, by the grace of God, he never gave in to sin. He was sinless. But boy, the devil tried everything, didn't he? Now again, why would the devil think that he could get to him? Because of his humanity. There he is. I know what these people are like. I know how to get to them. And the Lord allowed him, the Father allowed him to be tempted, to be tested to the ultimate degree. And there he was, facing death. I found it interesting that, I think it's in John 12, a lot of these scriptures, again, I haven't looked up again so I can turn to them, but one of the things he said, facing, in just a few days, I think, he was facing the cross. And he said, now the time has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Wow. What did he have his eyes on, the process or the goal? Yeah, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. Thank God. He's given us the perfect example of overcoming, of someone who said, I don't care what you do, this guy ain't cooperating. And yet, even Jesus didn't do it with his own strength. It was by the grace of God he offered himself without spot. Does that lay out a path for us? Does that give us a hint as to where God's going with this journey and what's going to happen during the journey? The truth is, God is going to put, like I say, every single one of us, and is putting every single one of us in places where we're going to have to reckon on what's in here? And the fact that the devil's got a hold. And he's got a hold because we gave it to him, whether we understood it or not. And the Lord wants us to come to a place where we realize there's more to the cross than just the blood that cleanses us from the guilt of sin. There is a participation in somebody who really comes to the cross. It's not like, okay, Jesus, wipe out my sin so I can live for you and bless me in this life. Oh, how human nature has corrupted the gospel. But it's not just so that I can have my sins erased from God's book. It is that, thank God. And you know, we need to always reckon on that that was accomplished there. But he didn't just die in my place. He took me with him. He took the entire first creation to that cross. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. There was a victory that we need to understand, because it's the only pathway where you and I can have any victory. We all died in him. We received the judgment of God. This creation was absolutely sentenced to destruction at the cross. But for those who follow him, the only pathway to new life is through death. We're going to have to give up our will, our way, our sin, our lives, and lay them down and hand them over to him if we're going to ever get to the resurrection part of it. Thank God for the resurrection. Thank God Jesus saw death as a pathway to glory. Do we see that? Now it's a bit quiet. But think about that simple truth. God has set before us glory. He's told us, of his ability and willingness to take us there. In fact, he sees it as finished. We're in the middle of it. But this is what our pathway is going to involve. It's going to involve overcoming. And we're going to have to, we can muddle along and say, oops, messed up, go back for the blood, some more of the what the blood accomplished. But God wants us to get beyond just messing up and getting forgiven, messing up and getting forgiven. He wants to get to the point where the devil doesn't have that hold anymore. Didn't Jesus say the devil, the prince of this world is coming? But what was the consequence of that? He's coming, all right. He has no hold on me. There's nothing in me. Everything in me has been tested to see whether I'm going to just follow my own nature and give in to it or not. Satan has no power just to come and overpower you. It's what's in here. See, God made us in his image. We have a choice. What's happened is that choice was handed over to the devil, and the only way I've got any choice right now is what God has done for me. Praise God. Anybody here need more of that this year? Today? This afternoon? Tomorrow? Yeah, I need the virtue. I need the victory that was won at the cross. Not just the forgiveness of my sins, but I need the death that I died. I need to be able to look back and say, devil, wait a minute. Something else happened there. Yes, the blood was shed to cover my sins, but I died there. I don't have to listen to you anymore. You lost your hold over me. I have the right to stand up and say, wait a minute, devil, I don't have to listen to you. And it's not that my will is strong now, it's that I have somebody else. I have been crucified with Christ. See how Paul saw in the cross, not just, oh, praise God, he forgave my sins, and I get to go to heaven one day. But he saw something that defined his life and the pathway to the destiny that God had set before him. And it was that me that was so in tune with Satan and his purposes, in tune with this creation, that wanted to live for what I could get out of this creation, this life. God's opened my eyes to see that this is so temporal, it's so foolish. Why would I live for this when it's all going to pass away? But he's given me a way out. And it's the same way the Son of God took. His exit from this creation was to be dead, was to be put to death on that cross. Willingly, joyfully, I give up this life that otherwise would have its hold on me and bring me to death in the wrong sense. I'm going to lay down my life, but there's a whole lot of people God has in mind. You know, when he died, God had a lot of folks here in mind, didn't he? Said, I see that they're going to come and they're going to struggle because their nature just like everybody else's. I mean, we can't point to anybody and say, look at them, I'm good and they're bad. Every single one of us has got the same nature. It just comes out in different ways. You know what the worst way is? Self-righteousness. Where we're able to act a certain way on the outside and think we're better than everybody else. We're not. We have the same need, and the same need for deliverance. And God's way of deliverance is for us to willingly embrace not just the blood for our cleansing, but the death that was died as my death. That represents the end of my life. And I freely, gladly lay it down. That was my exit. That's how I got out of all this. It was to die. But thank God it didn't stop there. Because there was a resurrection 3 days later, and he came out of that tomb, and he came out with a life that is incapable of dying. It cannot die. It cannot sin. All these things that we lack came forth from that tomb when Jesus came forth. And now the Word of God goes forth. How did Jesus create the first creation? Spoke. It was all in Him in a sense, because it was through Him that everything was made that was made. He was the exact image, the representation of the Father. And so when God created, He gave His Son the vision, and it was in a sense, it was in Him, and He spoke it out. And the power of those words, that divine will, that divine power went forth and created all that we see and all the scientists are still trying to figure out. But then He took it all with Him into that grave. Just a matter of time before that works out. But then He came forth with a brand new life and a brand new creation. And when He speaks to one up to a heart, that same divine power that created the stars has the power to impart a life in a human being, a sinful human being, unworthy, a life that cannot die, a brand new life. Praise God. Praise God. That's what I need to be able to navigate this life. I can't do it. The more I go, the more I run into me. My obstacles are not out there. My obstacles are in here. If it weren't for this guy, this stuff, I could navigate it. The Lord would give me strength. I'd go through it. But my problem is me and how I think about it and how I react to everybody and everything. And God's going to take me down paths that bring those things out, not so I will be defeated, not so I will be discouraged, but so that I will go back to the cross and say, wait a minute, I died there. Satan, I don't have to react this way anymore. I'm going to look to Him. But see, Paul didn't just say, I died. He said, I have been crucified with Christ. Didn't stop there, did he? Nevertheless, I live. I died, but I live. How in the world does that work? Because a resurrection happened. Then he says, the life I now live. So he was living out an earthly life at that point. He's up there trying to encourage us now. But he was living out an earthly life. But the life I now live, I live how? It's not I, but it's Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I need somebody living in here who has got the power over all this stuff. I don't have it. And God's going to take me down and is taking me down paths where I have to face up to what I really am in myself. Stop pretending. Stop trying to be this and trying to be that and justifying this and justifying that, but saying, wait a minute, this is not like you, Father. You set out to change me. You set out to get me ready so I can be one of the rulers of a new creation and not mess it up. I need to be working. I need to be walking in what you have done at the cross. I'm so thankful I can walk in the freedom from the guilt of sin, but I need the power of another life to change me. I need to come to that place that my Savior came. Didn't He say to take up what? Whose cross? Aha. You mean I got one? I've got a cross and I'm supposed to carry it? Yeah. If you're going to be mine, you're going to have to follow me. Take up your cross and follow me. The one who loves his life in this world is going to do what? Lose it. See, that was already determined at the cross. There's no other way out. But those who, I can't remember the rest of it, those who give up their life, who lose their life for my sake and the gospel's, will keep it for eternal life. Letting go of self is a challenge, isn't it? Because self is strong. Our enemy is way too strong for us unless God helps us. And so what God has designed this pathway to accomplish is to bring us face to face with that, but then to lift up the power of the resurrection and the power of his son and his plan for our deliverance. How can I be an overcomer? How is such a thing possible? Because he lives in me. There's a few times over the years I've quoted a hymn that we sang growing up. I looked it up this morning. I've accurately remembered the first verse. I'm not even going to try to remember the others, but let's see if I can remember it. There's a battle raging in the heavenly places, sin and death and sickness with Satan leading on. Wow. My brain just shut down. With the hosts of earth and hell arrayed against us, how in all our weakness shall the fight be won? Jesus giveth us the victory. He who overcame on Calvary overcomes again in you and me. Hallelujah, Jesus gives the victory. Isn't it interesting that the hymn writer talked about him overcoming at Calvary? That's a strange way to overcome an enemy, is to let him kill you. But that was the way. Folks, we don't need to reform this guy. He needs to be put to death. And God has given us in the cross a way for us to die and yet live. What an amazing thing. What an amazing thing. And so God wants to bring us to a place where we reckon on that, where we actually believe it. I mean, think about what happens when we mess up and we're struggling to believe even in the power of the blood to cleanse us. He just can't forgive me for that. And the devil's just trying to pound our guilt into our minds, and we're struggling to say, wait a minute, I know what God did. He declared that the blood cleanses from all sin, and I'm going to take my stand on that. But that's not all. God wants to bring us to a place where we take our stand on what else was accomplished there, that I died, but I also rose with him. I have a new life. But it doesn't just happen without my participation. He wants me to reckon on that. Isn't that what he says in Romans 6? Reckon yourselves, count yourselves dead indeed to sin. Act like it's a fact. Take action based upon, hey, that really is the truth, therefore I can say no. And I can say yes to him. And I can believe that there's a power that it will set me free if I'm willing to walk in that. May God help us to help me to reckon on the whole gospel. It's wonderful to have the forgiveness of sins and the hope of heaven, but oh, God wants to turn us into overcomers. He is preparing us for a day when we will stand there in radiance. I know I look at you and I say that from time to time, and everybody looks at me, seriously, you mean me? Yeah. Only God can do such a thing. But do you know when he did it? We think in terms of, well, it's not done yet. Yeah, it is. In all things, God works for the good of those who love him, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, all the ones that he foreknew, all of us that he foreknew, that he knew ahead of time. He did what? To predestinate it. He predestined us to be conformed. I need to be changed, don't you? Conformed to what? A good religious person. No, conformed to the image of his son. But wait a minute. The son is the image of the father. He's exactly like the father, isn't he? So God is going to absolutely bring us to a place where we experience and where we become like him too. Our motivations are the same. We're able to love. We're able to love one another. We're able to love the unlovely. Isn't that what God did? You know, I had a passing thought on Wednesday night just thinking about Oh, we were praying so many needs, for so many needs. And I don't know about you, but sometimes the devil wants to drop this little evil thought in my heart. You know, we're praying for this one. Well, they're a wonderful brother and sister. We've known them for years. Yes. But then there's somebody out there, and they're not serving the Lord. Okay, I'll pray for them, but I won't ask how many people ever had those kind of thoughts go through your head as though there's a difference. But what did we see in Jesus when he walked among us? Mercy. He would go through villages and towns. In some instances, he healed everybody. He didn't ask them, do you go to my church? Do you, you know, are you living a good life? Do you deserve this? That was that sense of mercy. But does anybody actually think that that was just, Jesus was down here, he understood the Father was up there, he was just kind of putting up with it and didn't really, no, this was the Father in him doing all that. You want to know what God's really like, what he wants us to be like? God help us. We've got a ways to go, but we've got one that's able to take us there. But then he talks about those that he foreknew. What did he do? He predestined. I'm trying to quote this from memory. He sanctified us. Anyway, he's doing the work, but he also glorified us. Wow. What is my hope? For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Can we not endure what God puts before us and let go of self when self wants to rise up and act out? Isn't that what the journey is about? Why else would we have to go through stuff in this world and stand up to it? Why would he talk so much about those who overcome? Now, who are those who overcome? What does John tell us in his letter? Who are the ones who overcome? Those who believe that Jesus is the Christ. And he's talking about a heart conviction that God has planted there. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. It was a hymn, I think it was written with that thought. And where did we get faith? It all goes back to him. It's the faith of the Son of God, isn't it? God plants in us everything that you and I need to be able to stand there one day, and he's the one who guarantees the end result if we just cooperate with him. God wants us to understand, in a measure, this journey. I had so many thoughts that tried to go through my mind. It didn't seem like anything was quickened at all. I left the house this morning sipping on my coffee and without any idea really what was going to happen this morning. But do you think that God wants us to overcome this year more than we have? Do you think there are things that this is the year. He has zeroed in on things that have held us captive all our lives. We've just said, oh, well, that's just the way I am. How many times have you heard people say that? Well, that's what God's dealing with, is the way I am. Because the way I am ain't going to get it over there. And his method of getting me ready is for me to live it out down here and make choices based upon divine power and divine life. I can cooperate with him. And I have, if I'm willing to recognize it and willing to do it, I have the power to say no. Now, it's not something I can dig around in. It's not because I'm strong-willed, because I'm not. But he's the one who lives in me. And if I get in a situation when that part of me wants to react the way it wants to react, when that's going on, I have the power to say, wait a minute. When Jesus died, I died to that. That part of me that wants its way, that justifies its way, that says, because they did this, I have every right to be mad. Or whatever the issue is. Or that habit that's so unlike him. Or the things my mind goes to. You just, whatever it is that comes out of human nature that's had a hold on us. Is this the year that God wants us to say, wait a minute, I do not have to listen to that anymore? When I asked Jesus to come in and be my Lord and my Savior, He came in. He has imparted to me a new life. I have somebody living in me who has already overcome all of this. He understands completely what I'm going through and what I feel. And He's here. And I have but to reckon on His power and say no, and He will absolutely set me free from that, the hold that that has had on my life. Does that make sense to anybody? You think that's what this journey is about? I do. Oh, again, think of what He's promised. And every one of those churches in Revelation to whom He wrote, and they were in all kinds of conditions. That was the thing at the end, to Him that overcomes. Because in every one there was something to overcome, whether it was lost first love, whether it was persecution in one of them. There was false teachers in some of them, error that had come in. There was the Laodiceans had come to a place where they were lukewarm. They had the form, but nothing else. Every one of them had something to overcome. But the promises of God. I've allowed you in this particular church to have to live in this context and live out the life of that new creation, because you're already a part of the new creation. If you're in Christ, see, a creation died at the cross. A new creation was born. Just like the old creation was in Him and He had but to speak it out, there was a new creation born and He speaks it out, doesn't He? And how does He do that? It's not, I mean, the order is reversed. Now He's got to get a people ready before He can do the rest so we won't mess it up. But that Word of God, the living Word, not just doctrines and ideas and traditions, but the living Word of God has to be spoken in such a way that it penetrates the heart, just like it did with Paul and so many others. And it literally finds a home in a heart. And there is a new life that is created, and that is a life that has the power, again, to be like Him, to grow up to be like Him. Think of what John said about how amazing, I forget the exact language, but what an amazing thing it is that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. And we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. That's the promise, that's the hope that God has set before us. To Him be the honor and the glory. May God help us to grow up into His likeness. We were created in the image of God. That image got badly messed up, but it's alive through the gospel. And everyone that has absolutely been born of that Spirit, that new creation is alive in you and in me, and God wants it to grow up some more this year. And wants us to learn how to face the things that have held us back and learn that we have the power to say no. And we have the power to say yes to Him. And He who overcame on Calvary overcomes again in you and me. Hallelujah. Jesus gives the victory. Praise God. To Him be the glory. He who is the image of God is bringing forth a host of brothers and sisters. And I'll just refer again. I guess I'm not reading anything today, but that's all right. You know the scripture in Hebrews 2 about where it quotes the Psalms. What is man that you are mindful of him? What is the son of man that you care for him? You made him for a little while lower than the angels. You put everything under his feet. And the writer says, but we don't see that now, do we? Right now, we don't see everything under his feet. I saw a video online where this guy was talking about something that had happened to him up in Canada somewhere where a moose drove him up a tree. The moose kind of won that one. And he was reenacting the thing, and he had been up there with his cell phone. This moose kept charging around. He had to stay up there about 10 minutes before the moose finally got tired and went away. There's a lot about this creation that's not in our hands. Now, people think they're going to go to the moon. Well, they've already done that, but they're going to go to Mars. They're going to conquer the world. They're going to solve this. They're going to do that. And they have no idea where this world is headed. That same spirit that was at Babel is alive today. When men think they can get together and this power that is in there, that God put in there, but it's become corrupted, they're going to use it for self and for their own advantage. But God has got a people. I want to be one of those people who understands what happened at the cross, what happened to that empty tomb, and be a participant in both. Thank God for the sins that are gone, for the blood that makes them gone. Thank God for the new life that gives me a life that is capable of growing up to be like Him. Oh God, give me the grace and give my brothers and sisters the grace to recognize the needs that He shines a light on. And then to turn our hearts not to trying harder, not to all the things that self wants to do to fix it, but to look back and say, but He came out of that tomb. And He has come to live on the inside. And I have a new life. And not only that, I died to the other. I do not have to say yes to that anymore. I can leave that by faith, not in my ability to do it, but because there's a divine power that makes it possible. To Him be the glory. May God give us the grace to walk in, and He is. He offers it. There's nothing holding back Him. There's no unwillingness on His part. His heart is reaching out to everyone that would look to Him. And He doesn't look on you and say, well, you're one of the second class, third class people. Everyone is His son, His daughter that He calls. He doesn't differentiate. We may have different places in the kingdom, but one is not more important than another. We all matter to Him, and you matter to Him today. And so do I. Thank God that we can face this year and know that we're going to face challenges, but know that we have one in us that's going to make it possible for us to overcome. If we'll just say, yes, Lord, I believe. I believe in the cross. I believe in the power of the resurrection. I believe in the Christ who lives on the inside. And I believe when I have a need, there's a throne where I can go. And I need mercy, but it's there. And I need grace. I need divine help right now in this circumstance to make me an overcomer. And when I do, and when you give me a crown as an overcomer on that day, guess what I'm going to do with it? I'm going to take that and I'm going to throw it at the feet of the one who made it possible. He'll be my elder brother forever, but oh, He's always going to have the preeminence. He's always going to be the name that's lifted up above every name. To Him be the glory. Praise God. One day we're going to stand there with Him. Because what, you know, I started to quote that part or refer to that part of Hebrews 2 where we don't see that dominion that God has created us for, but what we do see is Jesus. And He suffered death so that He could bring a host of brothers to that place. That's a rough, very rough paraphrase, but He did that so that it's not just Him sitting on the throne. He wants to bring us there. Praise God. Do you not realize we're sitting in a place of authority? We don't understand it when we're in the middle of the battle. We don't understand that, but God wants us to. Oh, yeah. He said, I'm already a victor in this thing. I don't have to listen. I can say yes. I guess I'm saying the same thing over and over again, but that's all right. I pray that God will give us a deeper understanding and a faith. I want to look to the cross because I need it. I want to look there and realize I died there too. And I look to that empty tomb and realize I came to life. He brought me up to a new life. And now He wants to help me to live out that life, even here where I've got to make choices. But when I make those choices, guess what? That new life gets stronger and has a deeper, it becomes more part of me. This becomes what I am. So I don't have to constantly, oh no, I'm not supposed to talk like that. I'm not supposed to be that way. I will learn how to be what He wants me to be. And it will just be more and more natural. I'll tell you, God's going to do that. Isn't He? Isn't He changing us from glory to glory? As we, with open face, we behold His glory, He changes us into what? Into His image. And it's happening, isn't it? And I just want to be part of it. So praise God.